is that Frankie from the Saturdays? Sing us a song, Franks, come on.
I'll sing a song, why not?
Yay!
Molly, ooh, never nest on a shell, but she was Saturday girl.
I'm doing nothing.
Everyone, and welcome back to season 2 of Snapped. As usual, we are your hosts. I'm Paul.
And I'm Pete.
And once again, this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week, we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped. And today may be Thursday, but we're already thinking ahead to the weekend with this week's album, The Saturdays on Your Radar.
And we actually have a Saturdays historian in the room with us, as Paul is a massive, massive fan of the Saturdays.
That's right, Pete. I have been a massive, as you say, fan of the Saturdays all the way from If This Is Love back in 2008 all the way through to What Are You Waiting For in 2014. Like, oh, I have every single one of their singles signed in the attic, collecting dust and money with inflation.
Your poor parents having to fund all these signed art cards and everything.
Thanks, Mum and Dad.
But who is your favorite Saturday?
It's got to be Frankie for me. Now, I will say before this episode starts, I did call Frankie a really inappropriate slur on Twitter after she said that Britney was lip syncing on the X Factor back in like 2008.
The behavior that you exhibited was whore-like. The whore jumped out.
But I had to go into my tweets and delete that for being problematic. She was originally number 5 on my list of the 5, but now she's right to number 1. That bob couldn't be denied.
What a boring choice. That's everyone's choice. Frankie was like the girl's choice.
Well, who's your favorite Saturday member then?
Rochelle, obviously.
Oh, are we Rochelle lover? You love the bit of the hit list. I think we reference hit list on this show more than we talk about anything else.
Because it's a good TV show.
It's a really good TV show. But once they get to like the 90s, like see when it's like 70s or 80s, pass.
But have you ever met the girls, Paul?
Right, we're going to get there soon. I did meet the Saturdays in this era, but we're saving that for after the Snappies.
Oh.
Bit of a tease.
But like, who are the Saturdays? Like, really?
Okay, before we get into this episode, just in case you, the lovely listeners out there, don't know who the Saturdays are, first of all,
Die!
Educate yourself. They were an English girl group that released incredible pop music between 2007 and 2014, consisting of Frankie Bridge, Molly King, Una Healey, Vanessa White, and Rochelle Humes. You most definitely have heard some of their singles, though, on the charts, from Up to Ego to What About Us. They soundtracked my adolescence with some incredible gay bops.
That's so exciting, but let's get into this album. Today, we're going to focus on Your Radar, the third studio album by the British/Irish girl group The Saturdays. It was released the 21st of November 2011 under Fascination Records. The Saturdays EP Headlines in 2010 served as a bridge between the 2009 album Word Shaker and On Your Radar. The band desired to take risks, with group member Molly King declaring their new sound as dance floor music during the recording process. Now, is that true?
It definitely is dance floor music. Was it a risk to release dance floor music in 2011? I would go with no.
What were their first two albums giving if not dance floor?
Word Shaker was not dance floor. Word Shaker was not dance floor. It was very like mid-tempo.
You're not shaking on the floor for Word Shaker.
My words were shaking, but my tits were not. Like, it was not that up-tempo. They literally invented a new word. No, like, I don't think we're talking about this enough. Like, back in 2009, they just created a brand new word called Word Shaker, and the UK moved on. Like, we didn't stay.
Alexander Berg didn't take it to the US.
No, that was a one-way exchange. She took the word elephant, but she's like, I don't have any words to give back.
According to Molly on the band's official website, the band's influences were coming from Britney Spears' dance pop style, Adele, and John Mayer's pop rock style.
Why would a man be there? Why would a man be there? No, it's actually pissing me off.
Now, defend your girl.
Molly, I'm not defending her for that. John Mayer is not welcome on this pod.
They were also taking a dancier style to Rihanna and Katy Perry's style. They can't say style that many times.
There's a vision board here for me that I'm seeing, and it's like,
why is John Mayer in the middle of it?
Which one of these 5 girls is giving me Adele vocals? I don't know. The Saturdays could do Rolling in the Deep, but Adele could not do Notorious.
That's kind of true.
That's tea.
They say that their lyrics on this album had a lot of man-bashing, singing about how girls are better than boys, then calling themselves feisty on the album. Ooh. They literally were like, girly things to say. Feisty.
Yeah, what do you call that girl magazine? Basher.
Go Girl.
Yeah, they were reading Go Girl, Pop Girl. They were like getting the glitter stickers. John Mayer, though, anyway.
They went on to say that the album sound is not a typical girl band sound. They also said, the great thing about pop music is you get to try a lot of different music. What does that even mean?
Yeah, pop music seems like it's one thing, so I feel like it's on like a lot of different things. I do think they are not doing the typical girl band sound, because I feel like Wordshaker was very girl band-esque. It's like mid-tempo, a lot of ballads or more introspective thoughts, like very like Lonely Girl era. I don't know. I just feel like this was more traditional pop music. Generic, yes, but definitely more traditional.
Do you think Wordshaker is more like Girls Aloud coded?
A million percent. I feel like their first two albums are more Girls Aloud coded. The first time I saw The Saturdays Live, the first of many, they opened for Girls Aloud in 2008. Mm-hmm. So like, I do feel like they were emulating a lot of what those girls did and what the sort of the path that they paved first. And then this is more like, I don't think this is revolutionary. Let's not get away from this. This is not revolutionary pop. But I think it is different for a girl band to do more Katy Perry, Rihanna style songs.
So you think they kind of changed the narrative of like Girls Aloud, Sugar Babes singing to like maybe the bridge between Pussycat Dolls and Little Mix kind of?
I really think they did a lot of work for Little Mix here in this era, and people will not take me seriously for that, but I really agree with myself, because I feel like where Little Mix go, Glory Days, Confetti, the more pop focused ones, is the similar trajectory of The Saturdays. Little Mix's first two albums, DNA and Salute, are much more Girls Aloudy, Sugar Babesy to me. And then they go the pop route. I think The Saturdays did it first and better.
Oh.
What isn't better, though, is this album cover. Because it features the band from shoulders up with a white and grey background. How interesting.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. They are allegedly nude. In an interview with Capital FM about the new album's artwork, the group stated, "We can't tell you the name yet, but we just made the final approval of our album cover. You won't know what to expect because it's so different."
Wow.
We're all naked for a start.
Wow.
Yeah, so essentially, if you haven't seen this cover before, it's like literally collarbone up and that's it. Frankie's got her iconic bob.
Oh no.
I just feel like it's like a makeup advertisement or something, like all the different shades of skin.
Yeah, it's very that like lash advert.
Yeah, it's got Frankie in the middle as she should. Una's not in the end, so it's wrong.
Una and Rochelle should be swapped.
But I will say, Molly is serving cheekbones.
Yeah, she's looking down. In.
Yeah, she's definitely taking all the Tyra-isms on here, which I really, really respect. They've got a bit of a wet hair vibe, or maybe that's just Vanessa. Maybe she didn't wash her hair that day.
Vanessa just got out of the shower because they were going to start the shoot without her.
But the group do say they chose to go naked for the album cover due to feeling exposed, as having written the majority of the album themselves, stating it'll be a lot more personal than the previous three albums.
Can we really say that they write the majority of the album themselves? I feel like they only wrote like around half of this album. I couldn't say the majority.
Yeah, they're running up, I think, on the amount that they have written for this album. And they didn't write any of the singles as well, spoiler alert. So I'm not sure how vulnerable and exposed and raw they're being when they didn't actually release any of the songs that they did write.
Also, one of them only Una wrote.
Yes, we can't count that one. We can't count that one. That's like a fifth.
Yeah.
They wrote like 6.2 of the songs from this album. The album is also available on a deluxe fan edition, which comes in a beautiful presentation box and includes 16-page booklet, headlines tour DVD, and a DVD taking you backstage on the tour as well. Now, I do own this. I've watched this. I mean, my dad watched this a lot.
Of course, your dad had to buy it as well.
Okay, so the headlines tour was amazing. But when I went, so this was to support the EP that came before this album. We're going on a tangent. They came to Belfast. I was so excited. They didn't bring any costume changes.
Boo.
They wore the same outfit the whole time. Didn't bring any props. And Frankie was sick.
No.
Send it back in the mail.
Mm-hmm. Why couldn't Una be sick? Like, so there was only the four girls on. They cut the set list. I was raging.
Why'd they bother? This is why people don't come to Belfast.
I was protesting and in Belfast, that's never a good thing. But like, I swear down, I was raging. But I got to watch my DVD with this little deluxe box. And I got to see Frankie perform the songs finally.
Well, virtually.
Also, Pete, I don't know if you know, but if you order from HMV, you'll be able to get your favorite Saturday with the individual slipcases now. I have my Frankie slipcase.
Did you only get Frankie's?
I only got Frankie's slipcase and I also got the deluxe fan edition.
Wow, you were supporting.
With mom and dad's hard-earned wages. Cha-ching. I was like, I want the deluxe version, but also want Frankie's version.
And they said, yes, son.
And dad wanted Una's version, probably. He was an Una fan. He really liked Una.
Back to the album, and there were a lot of cooks in this kitchen, with additional producers and songwriters being included in the making of the record, including Tayo Cruz, Crickets, Labyrinth, Come In, and Space Cowboy, who just played that track.
The Tayo Cruz are reassure. Higher featuring Kylie Minogue is so good.
Yeah, and Dynamite, but name another song quickly.
A profound silence has entered the chat.
Crickets, but like still, I think that's quite star-studded.
Oh,
star,
yeah.
Like encrusted, maybe.
Yeah, Poundland star stickers.
Space Cowboy, though, he worked with Gaga right before this.
Yeah, but name it again. Name another time he worked with anyone.
He worked with Nadia O. You're not gonna.
I don't know who that is.
I'll play you on the way to Starbucks.
Nadia O. You're making this up.
I would ask people to write in if they know who Nadia O is. They do not, but like she's so good. Connor loved Nadia O. Hot Like Wild's got 63k. This is her most famous.
63k on YouTube.
It was only uploaded 2 years ago.
Let's look at her Spotify. We're on a Nadia O tangent. Or Nadia O. Who is it?
Nadia O.
And she's got Your Number and My Egyptian Lover with Space Cowboy.
Yes, My Egyptian Lover is so good.
She released a song last month.
Well, I haven't heard that one yet. I don't know if Space Cowboy was involved, but I'll be listening after this.
No, sorry, I'm not joking when she hasn't released a song since 2012, but yeah. She released one June 7th, 2023. Rain Dance. Look at that cover.
Whoa. That is literally pixel art.
Let's see.
Bop.
Sorry, we don't want to get copyright stricken by Nadia.
I don't think she's got a register.
She's like, please play it on the podcast.
Yeah. That sounded really good.
That sounded so good. Really? Where's the cover about? Anyways. On Your Radar has garnered mixed reviews, with many reviewers criticizing its lack of identity. AllMusic's John O'Brien wrote that the album is make or break time, while noticing that the girls' robotic voices are occasionally capable of emotion. What do you think of that?
It's a treat. I think it was make or break time, and I think it made them. I think this album, anyway, it's incredible. So all of these haters are not welcome to listen to this pod.
Well, Lewis Corner of Digital Spy complimented the girls' newfound enthusiasm for slipping on a pair of Louboutins and hitting the dance floor, while praising the single Notorious and All Fired Up, but felt that their initial energy soon started to wane at the back end, and concluded by saying the result is a jumble seal of hits and misses, which unfortunately sees the girls' identity slip steadily off the radar. Now that is a read.
That's camp. That was the gay man behind the keyboard, and he was like, on the radar, off the radar, girl. I think there are merits to that criticism around the sequencing of this album. A lot of the bangers come at the start, and then a lot of the ballads come at the end, and I do feel like it kind of gives you that, like, come down from a night out energy, which I think works sequentially, but I don't know if that like, kind of works that way.
But I feel like reviewers just call the singles bangers. So basically he's being like, well, all the singles are at the start. Well, I'm like, that's because they're the songs you already know.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of an unfair criticism. It kind of lulls you in. He was like, oh, they were like doing really good. The singles are really good. And then he's like, but the album's really not that good.
Well, a more favorable review came from Sarah Kwong from Cosmopolitan, who noted the girl group have taken their feisty finger-snapping lyrics and given them harder, cooler beats.
T. Come on, Sarah. But did people buy this album, P, other than me?
You bought versions. A lot of versions that are on the floor behind you. On Your Radar debuted at number 43 in the Irish album charts, a major drop from their previous release Headlines, which reached number 10. While all previous albums peaked within the top 10 in the UK, On Your Radar charted at number 23 with sales of 18k. Sigh.
I know, I'm so sad. I'm so sad because they were charting super well. I Love Saturdays did a really good job. Like their first three albums got in the top 10. Like that was so good. And then I think On Your Radar is more commercially viable. I think it's more accessible. And it kind of flopped.
I know it's sad because I feel like this is their biggest timeless gay bops era, and then it's slipping down the charts because people did want them to stand at a microphone and sing issues. Like,
and as we say, a lot of the love seems to come for these singles, so I think it's time just to dive right in with the first single from this album. It is Notorious.
Notorious.
It's called Notorious. The album's lead single was produced by Steve Mack and has been described as something the Black Eyed Peas or Rihanna would release. Now, I don't know who said that because the Black Eyed Peas would not release this song.
I feel like it is a bit Black Eyed Peas coded.
Really? You can hear Fergie wheel on this?
I feel like people just associated like vocoder or electronic beats with the Black Eyed Peas in this era though.
Fair, fair. Well, yeah, I guess.
Rihanna though, could she do Notorious? Yeah. I feel like the Saturdays could do Disturbia.
It is very Disturbia coded, this song, actually. The band described the song's lyrics as playful, and the song is often labelled very cool by the band. They don't really have, like, a thesaurus.
They went to the School of Brittany.
Yeah, very cool. Wonderland Magazine asked the band to describe their new music in 5 words. So, Pete, I'm going to get you to guess the 5 words they picked.
Feisty, fingersnappy, boppy, girly.
Very cool.
Very cool.
No, none of those. Oh, no, you got one. Ding, ding, ding. They responded with current, fun, naughty, girly, and dancey.
That's the Seven Dwarfs.
Some critics labelled the song as quite amazing and big. That's what I get called on Grindr. Quite amazing and big. But all... But all was not well. Media giant Yahoo Music questioned if the song was enough, stating a bad girl, short skirts, nice hair, rave breakdown. But is it enough? What more do you want? That feels like it's really good.
Bad girl, short skirts, nice hair. That sounds like a song. What is that?
Taylor Swift. She wears short skirts, bad girl, nice hair, rave breakdown.
But she's
Notorious. The single's release was also accompanied by a music video, which was filmed in LA.
Budget.
And the final version of the video premiered on both the band's official website and ITV2 at 8:30 a.m. on the 19th of May 2011. Now, let me tell you something.
Right before school?
I was going into my final year at school. And I was 2011? Eating my cornflakes. Well, 2012, I think. Let me tell you something. I was in my second last year of school. Mm-hmm. My mother's pour my cornflakes. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting. I'm about to go into class. ITV2's on.
ITV2, not even ITV.
No, but not ITV3. Like, it was middle of the road. The music video has been described as sexy secretary look as they knuckle down a day's work at the office. And the lift handily opens out into a dance floor where they strut their stuff in front of some appreciative men.
If you watch the video, you know they're not doing a hard day's work in the office.
No, okay, so the video opens, they're in the lift, they're kind of like in their office where...
No, we need to talk about the lift. No, actually, we need to talk about the lift and the phone.
What about the lift?
Well, are they getting the lift, they go to floor 5 because there's 5 of them?
Oh, true, I never thought about that. Yes, and then they strut out, they go over to their desks.
The way they strut is so hot, like, they're like, almost like Barbie dolls, like...
Click, 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 yeah, I see that. They sit down at their desk and then they get a phone call. Pete, what does it say?
Incoming call, verse 1.
No.
My Grindr name?
No, it's so calm because then Rochelle lifts the phone and then starts singing her verse, like verse 1.
It's truly like we were gagged because obviously Paul's seen it a million times. We were rewatching for this episode and Paul was on the floor.
I did not see that level of detail. Like, that's Christopher Nolan budget. Like, that's what he's giving on Oppenheimer. Like, I just can't believe. Like, Oppenheimer opens with the explosion. This opened with the lift doors opening in verse 1.
Exactly. I'm going to work.
And they're stamping, like, folders with the Saturday's logo, Notorious.
Yeah, I want to know what context you need to stamp the word Notorious onto a piece of A4 paper. Work.
That's a hard day's work.
That's what they were singing about when they sang work.
So they get in the lift again. They're done their work after like 2 seconds. And then they go up to the 15th floor.
Just triple the fun.
Literally. Then they strut out to the dance floor in their like club outfits. In this most like obvious sound shoot I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's literally just like a random place. Emptiness. There's like 4 dancers there.
They're strutting their stuff in front of some appreciative man.
Not all.
No.
Just some.
However, the music video has been compared to a Boots Pharmacy advert, but with a better song. Well, I mean, that's still not a read, but...
Yeah, it'd be like a Specsavers advert, because they're all wearing their glasses, and then they take it off and they put their contact lenses in.
This era is definitely like, have dark hair and glasses, and then reveal into lighter hair and no glasses to be like the transformation of ugly to pretty.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, Siri, please.
In the lead up as well, they also released 20-second teasers of the video until the full video was broadcast. Now, I don't feel like the video is that long that if we were getting multiple 20-second teasers, we're going to piece it together.
I was stitching it together in my bedroom. Mom was knocking on the door, being like, chicken dinner's ready. Like, your chicken nuggets.
You're like, Mom, fuck off. This Saturday's are releasing a 20-second snippet. And also before the release of the song, each member released lyric teasers where they would release lyrics of the song each day. Are there that many?
No. And according to the band, they took the music video outline from the TV series Ugly Betty, which I totally see. Like, where's Will Minnis later coming in? Like, slap the girls for not doing any work.
The office is very reminiscent of that. But then the upstairs is literally, as you say, like a blank room.
Is there no budget this time around?
But there was some sales.
Thank fuck.
Not a lot, though. The single...
reverse.
Yeah, not a lot, though. The single found itself charting on the Irish single charts, where it debuted at number 19, becoming the band's 8th top 20 single in Ireland.
Now, the Irish girls were stanning Una. They were like, we have an Irish girl here.
Yeah.
But she's kind of a step down from Nadine, to be fair.
Yeah, she's Nadine-liked.
Yeah.
Ginger Nadine. On the 29th of May 2011, though, Notorious entered the top 10 of the UK charts at number 8, becoming the band's 9th top 10 hit of their then 10 singles release. Like, girls.
Only one didn't get in.
Work.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Well, so they brought it back.
They went to work.
Yeah.
Let's focus on what we need to focus right now. Ooh, you need to get your music done. Ooh. Me? You need to go in the studio.
The single spent but 1 week within the top 10, falling 13 places, number 21 in the second week, the biggest faller in the top 40 for the chart week ending the 6th of June.
No, that's sad.
That is sad, but what isn't sad is the CD single was packaged with a song, a B-side, Not That Kind of Girl. This would have went number one.
For 50 million weeks.
Yeah, Not That Kind of Girl is one of the Saturday's best songs. Now, if the girls don't know they're listening, every single that Saturdays put out, they also had an accompanying B-side, which you can now find all of them collected and compiled on Spotify or Apple Music.
I think they're the first people to ever do that, actually. I think they created that.
They created that A-side, B-side concept. Yeah. Thank you, girls, for that. But not all of them are incredible. Like, all of them are bangers. And Not That Kind of Girl is probably the best.
Girl.
A little girl. Not that little girl.
This sound is so fresh. So modern, like, they could release this today and just pretend that it wasn't a B-side and we'd be all yum yum yum. They're back.
They need to come back. I miss them so much.
They're yummy mummies.
Not that kind of mum. Free brand.
Mum.
Okay, so Pete, they were getting Notorious. Mm-hmm. It charted kind of well, but what came next?
Well, released on our anniversary.
No, I didn't know. I didn't even see that.
All Fired Up, I Feel Alive. This single was released on the 4th of September 2011 by Polydor Records, but in terms of cultural moments of announcements, All Fired Up did have to come number 2 because around the time the single was announced, it was announced that the bands would become brand ambassadors for the Nintendo 3DS game, Nintendogs and Cats, for which the band recorded a number of TV adverts to promote, and All Fired Up is played in the background of these. Now, they said, we got hot girls in for Notorious. We need weirds, nerds, children, cats and dogs.
Yeah, the cats and dogs are streaming this song.
They said, Nintendo actually came to them when the DS came out. They were like, do you want to be brand ambassador for Nintendogs? And they were like, no, there's no cats.
They were like, we'll add them in. And they added the full suite of
they
cats.
They made
the
3DS game because I think it was Una that said, they don't look realistic enough back in the DS day. So they were like in the studio.
Oh.
And then the people were in Nintendo studios.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, how can we make this more 3D? They made the 3DS.
Yeah.
And they made one game, Nintendogs and Cats. And they said, we need a legend. And then someone said, put their hand up, said, sir, we actually need 5. The Saturdays.
Do you think this is because there's the lyric in the song, we're all animal?
I don't know.
So get your claws out.
That's why they needed the cats, because dogs don't really have claws.
Yeah. No, they've got paws.
Can we watch the Nintendogs advert?
Yeah.
I wonder how many there are.
Do you think there are on YouTube?
Alfie, sit. Sit. Good boy, Alfie. Good boy.
What are you doing?
It's this really cute game called Nintendogs vs. Cats. And you have your own 3D dog.
Oh, it's wicked.
Rochelle really didn't know what she was getting into there. She was like, what is this? 3DS?
I would definitely recommend somebody who's thinking of getting a dog to start off with Nintendogs plus cats because it shows you how much responsibility they are.
No one says that.
That was wicked.
Oh, check me out. I've just made 10 new Street Pass friends.
Oh, wow. What's that?
When you pass someone who's got a Nintendo 3DS, you're automatically connected with each other. And you can, like, share greets, share gifts, and meet them in the park. Just join them up.
That's clever.
And then they meet up.
I want to be on Una Healy's Street Pass. I'm sorry, I've said so many things about her, but I want to be on her Street Pass card.
Una Healy explaining what Street Pass is.
Oh, that's an amazing picture! Oh, I love that.
Bring your pet into the real world.
Oh, Vanessa's acting.
Vanessa's like, I don't have a line in this. Let me just throw it in.
Only on Nintendo 3DS.
Wow, that was truly educational.
Yeah.
First and foremost, educational, fun, flirty, dancy, girly,
clubby,
ravey. Back to the song. Was All Fired Up played in the background of them? I don't really.
Not a single beat of it.
Well, other than that, All Fired Up received positive reviews from critics, with many commending the song's girlish vibe and unabashed pop sensibility. People just be saying things.
Yeah.
The song was performed live on television for the first time on Tonight's the Night. Now, do you remember Tonight's the Night?
I don't remember Tonight's the Night at all.
Do you not know who the host of Tonight's the Night is?
No, I don't know what Tonight's the Night is.
Well, cancelled Doctor Who actor John Barrowman had this show called Tonight's the Night, and there was a Doctor Who skit on it. Who knew that the Saturdays premiered All Fired Up on it on TV?
I've definitely seen the performance. Like, I would watch all their performances, but I didn't know.
This is the closest the Saturdays got to Doctor Who.
Can you imagine them as companions?
Vanessa Slavine. Before the release of the single, the music video for All Fired Up was released on the 10th of August 2011. And the music video was actually supposed to be released on the 9th of August 2011 at 10:30. But due to technical issues, it was uploaded a day late. Now, we do have to dock some points for that.
Mm-hmm. Girl, get your upload ready.
According to the band, the music video is a lot more fashion-based and a lot more graphic-y. They just have to add like a Y to the word. As they said, they wanted to try something different due to all the previous music videos having a storyline to them. This one is more about fashion. They were like, I'm sick of writing these storylines. Like, sorry, what's the storyline of Notorious?
They went to work and they were bored of working, so they went for a dance.
Why'd they go 10 floors up to go for a dance?
That's where the club was.
Vanessa White said that All Fired Up is definitely the danciest song we've ever made, and it's the danciest track on the album too. She went in, they gave her a card that was like, mention that it's dancy. The single also found success in the UK after it charted at number 3 on the UK singles chart behind Maroon 5 and Christina Aguilera's Moves Like Jagger and Pixie Lott's All About Tonight. Now, who knew Pixie Lott could outperform the Saturdays?
All About Tonight is a fucking banger. It slaps.
The single became the band's 10th top 10 single in the UK out of 11. Sorry, work. The single also had identical chart success as the band's 2010 single, Missing You, charting at number 3 and 6 in the UK and Ireland simultaneously.
Come on, girls.
Now, let's get into the music video. What do you think of this music video, Paul?
Incredible. Incredible, life-changing, very fashion-y and very dancing, I would say. No, I think of this all the time. The, like, stunning looks are all in, like, these, like, black, almost, like, warrior-esque vibes to me. Mm-hmm. They're, like, ready to battle mm-hmm. through dance. There's a lot of, like, water work. Different, like, people in gimpish outfits in the water mm-hmm. splashing around. But there's so, like, me and my friends would meet up on a Friday night. We would all sit around in my friend Erin's house. We would just all be in the full choreography from this music video. We would actually have to wait for it to come on the music channels on the TV. We're like, we're waiting. We're watching like Moves Like Jagger. I'm like,
yeah.
Pixie Lott All About Tonight. I'm like, all fired up. I'm like running, shaking, crying, doing the little dance move. It's so good.
I actually found this breakdown of the music video written by a Saturdays fan. And I just think it's art. Like, so I'm going to read it for you now. Yeah. During the opening scene of All Fired Up, the music video is puddles of water with a reflection of light on them. As the clip changes, it shows Vanessa standing with one hand on her hip, singing. Before Frankie and Molly appear from behind, and later a view from above, you can see Rochelle and Una. They're like online exclusives.
Yeah, puddle only.
As the song begins to kick in, the band start to do a simple dance routine, wearing black leather dresses and shoes with a veil attached.
Ooh.
As the chorus begins, the band members are seen at different scenes in a different room by themselves singing the chorus. There are also scenes where women in black body cat suits with just their hair out are dancing in the puddles of water. Throughout the video, the band are seen wearing fashionable outfits, and in the middle of the chorus, all the band members are seen standing in a circle wearing a neutral color dress, posing, not moving, where the platform they are standing on is turning.
Oh.
They are also often seen whipping their hair at Blow My Mind, as a symbol of them getting their minds/heads blown off.
That doesn't feel like symbol core to me. It feels very intentional.
As the video is beginning to follow out, the girls are seen crouching down with their fists up doing a simple dance.
That's the dance I thought was really difficult as a child. That's not fair. Well, a child, I was like 17.
As Healy's last part of the video/song, she is singing Keep Me On Your Radar, and the girls have their hands to their heads as if they're looking for someone.
Oh, I know the dance moves they're talking about. It's like they've got their binoculars out. They're looking for someone.
I just like that this fan took the time to explain the lyrics and choreo synergy.
Yeah, they're giving a dissertation in the Saturdays, as we all should be getting after this episode.
Now, what do you think of the CD single of All Fired Up being packaged with Lady Killer?
Really good. Really good song as well. Amazing, actually. Like, they don't mess with these B-sides. You need to check this out as well. Like, I don't know what to say about it other than it's incredible. It's literally what, like, Womanizer was doing. It's very that ilk of, like, this person's a bad boy and he's, like, a womanizer. He's a Lady Killer.
Oh.
They looked at womanizer synonyms, but like Molly loves Britney, so.
Well, Frankie doesn't.
Sense. Clearly blocked. I called her a woo.
Now there's one more single to go from this album, Paul. Why don't you tell us about it?
Okay, my heart's taken over. Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, the third single is called My Heart Takes Over, released on the 13th of November 2011 in the UK by Polydor Records. This marks her 12th overall single released. It debuted and peaked at number 15 in the UK singles chart, so they didn't make it to the top 10, and it was their first single to not sell over 100,000 copies. Now, we're not going to blame anyone in particular or name names, but there was unfortunately less promotion for this single than previous due to Una Healey being pregnant at the time.
That was my first impression, like, oh, and then pregnant, God help us.
And with their tour rehearsals for the All Fired Up tour taking place throughout November as well. Now, this song is a much slower, ballady, introspective song. It's not dancey, it's not ravey. It could be girly, I don't know. But it just doesn't like reach the heights of those previous songs. I do like the levity of it and like being different than the other two singles instead of just being like a third club song. And the more I listen to it, the more I like it. There is some auto-tune reverb on some of the vocals as well. So it's not like traditional ballad, but it doesn't really stand out to me in particular. It's not like a song that I really reach for or think about very often.
It's a weird one to pick as a single, but I guess they were trying to go for like the general public, like girls singing a deep inverted commas song.
Yeah, it's the issues of this era. It's the same thing that they do a lot where they just pull it like a ballad to be a single. And like I get it, I got it, like I get it's for variety, but I think it definitely is the weakest of the three singles from this era, and the sales definitely back that up.
Now what about the music video?
Oh, they got a flight. They definitely jumped on a flight to Iceland on the 30th of September 2011. We got their flight records out to shoot the music video in what can only be the windiest day in Icelandic history.
I think they imagined that it was going to be like snowy or something because everyone's dressed well. Una is trying so hard to hide her baby bump.
Yeah.
First of all, Rochelle is dressed amazing.
Yeah, she is. But she's also like in that
fur, like a fur hat, fur collar. Molly's just got a trench coat with a big collar and she's pulling it together like she's in an advert.
Yeah, but Rochelle is standing between two bits of rock that look a bit like she's in 127 hours. Like she's about to chop off her arm and like eat it so that she can climb back up. Like, why did they throw her in there?
Well, Vanessa's on Bad Wolf Bay, screaming into the water.
Yeah, but she is serving vocals and looks. This is Vanessa's highlight of this entire era for me. She is giving. The fashion is there for the most part, I would say. Frankie's outfit is a choice. It's like a black leathery jacket over the longest nude gown. And then these ugly black shoes where they have her on the edge of a cliffside. Like, I'm like, girl, one gust of wind and those heels are going to snap. And the bob won't save you now. Like, there's not a lot of, like, or friction, she's just gonna hit the ground. This music video is so safe. It was not worth the budget to go over to Iceland to film this. It's very safe.
Yeah, I don't think it was costing them that much.
No, the budget was low. They definitely got like economy.
One trip to Debenhams as well before they got there to get those coats.
Stop. I don't even really care for the B-side for this one as well. So they released So Stupid alongside My Heart Takes Over. It's fine. It's a bit sonically grating, actually. Like, I don't really care for it that much. And as we'll find out very quickly, there are a lot better songs that we could pull from as a third single from this album as we head over to... Slipped on or
chopped off. Pass the mic because I'm going to go first.
No, what else were they for?
Saturday.
Get ready, get set. Because the more that I get, the more I want. Now, this song, go pause the episode. Actually, don't. Add it to the queue after the episode. Get Ready, Get Set, produced by Xenomania of Girls Aloud Acclaim, who also produced All Fired Up, may I add, and co-wrote alongside LGBTQ+ legend Emenike. They came together. They were pouring all the different ingredients in to make the potion.
Sugar. Spice. And everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen.
That was Get Ready, Get Set. This is a club banger of a song which gets desperately overlooked. It was actually defined by the band as an up-tempo feel-good song. They said when they were writing the lyrics, they were trying to be steamy, which was embarrassing for them. No, I wouldn't say that.
Why would they say the song's embarrassing?
I think because they're being tops in the lyrics. They're like, they want it. They're like, they don't want to be chased. They want to get it.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's more embarrassing for them because they're like...
girly.
They're like, give me that D now.
Oh. Who said, why is my pussy wet? Y'all, please watch it.
What?
Anyway, the lyrics of Get Ready, Get Set aren't going to win the girls a Pulitzer Prize, but it's pure, unadulterated British girl group pop, and I love it.
It's a really good song, Pete, but it's not Move On You. We're going to disagree on this one.
Move On You.
Oh, it is, yeah. They were like, we didn't have time to spell it out. The Y and the O rotted. Produced by Alias, normally providing remixes to some of the biggest artists in the world, such as Britney Spears, Cheryl Cole, and Little Mix. The list did decline quickly, but like not in a bad way. This is one of only 14 songs they've actually produced the original version of, and it slaps.
Oh.
Move On You was written by the band themselves, and they wanted lyrics to be sexy and flirtatious.
My one was steamy, so they're just using the thesaurus again.
They also said the song is a little rude.
Are you fucking serious right now? What the fuck? I just feel this is so rude.
One thing that gags me the most about this is that it's a song that has a chorus exclusively sang by Una, yet is still my low-key favourite of the entire album. Miracles can happen. The production's really rich on this one. Like, I just feel like it's so good. It's the last song on the album as well, so I'm like, oh, let's go out and bang. Like, when that reviewer said that the album sort of falls off at the end, I'm like, girl, did you skip Move On You? There's something so quintessentially clubby about this song, all about going out and being the one to make the first move. I think it's a feminist anthem. It builds the most juicy and delicious last chorus, with Rochelle's ad-libs in the background closing out the album so beautifully for me.
T.
Yeah, she was like, Una can't handle this big last chorus on her own, let me get in.
But what about the chopping block?
Okay, yeah. I find this difficult. I think this album's really solid all the way around, but I'm gonna chop off Do What You Want With Me.
Oh.
So did Gaga, and from her album as well, she chopped that right off. But I will say Gaga and R. Kelly's version outsold them. Sorry. It's better than this. There are no bad songs in this album per se, but this is definitely the most mid of all of them. Vanessa White explained when she first recorded the song, she wasn't feeling it. Very honest queen. She was onto something. She should have
stopped recording.
She continued with it. She said, let's go.
She wasn't feeling it.
Hi, Diva. You know, I'm just not feeling this one.
She put it on the album anyway. She was going for a curry after. This song has a lot of different elements and took a long time to get right, she says. Do What You Want With Me is a dubstep song, and the band said it was the coolest song on the album. Now, Vanessa said she wasn't feeling it. I don't understand. There's like a mix match.
She was like, girls, I'm not feeling it. And they were like, keep just singing.
Fully single. Dubstep is a choice of a definition for me as well. It's much slower than the rest of the album, actually, and while it does have a semi-drop, it should have been dropped and chopped off altogether instead. Well, while Vanessa wasn't necessarily feeling that song, we do have a few targeted ads to put on your radar.
Current. Girly. Fun. Dancy. Naughty. My grandmother used to tell me stories about the old days, a time of peace when the Saturdays kept balance between the tribes. Only the Saturdays mastered all five elements. Only they could stop the ruthless chart positions. But when the world needed them most, they vanished. Rochelle, last seen pushing the hit list buzzer. Molly, last heard on the radio playing Hair Down on repeat. Frankie, last seen doing Instagram promo for Candy Kitten. Una, last seen in an unhappy throuple. Vanessa, never seen again. Have you seen these women? Please, help us. Travis McCoy declined to comment on the missing legends.
Hello to you all, and welcome back to the prestigious Snappy Awards. Now over to our hosts Pete and Paul for the first award. For the cringiest line.
Most of what the girls say in this year is kind of cringy for me in the interviews, but in the song I Say Okay, the second verse altogether cringes me out. My goat Frankie does step up to the mic, but unfortunately she says, sure, you gotta love an attitude, but this scene is steaming up with rude. Posers posing like a fashion shoot, and everyone's dishing files like they're Simon Cowell.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that at all. I don't know. The cadence of it when she actually sings it is much worse as well. It's really, really annoying. I don't actually think you can hear when she says Simon Cowell in the song. It's just like auto-tune mess. The Saturdays explained that I Say Okay is a tongue-in-cheek song. The lyrics of the song are quite basic. so everybody knows the song is about. I don't know if any of that's like a proper accolade or like something you want to be announcing, but those lyrics just cringe me out. I don't know. The scene is steaming up with Rude, really, like really specifically. I'm like, but what does that mean? It's smelly though. Like Rude doesn't smell nice. It smells like somebody did like a wee fart or something.
Vanessa.
From a curry earlier on.
And now for the second award of the night, the weirdest fact.
Okay, for weirdest fact, if you've listened to my Guilty Pleasure episode, I do love a fan competition. So via the band's official website, they started a competition called Reveal Your Notorious Side, which fans would enter the competition by telling the band about your most notorious moment, asking if your friends class you as the cheeky one, the feisty one, or the naughty one. Now, what would you say for your most notorious moment? I think you were feeling feisty.
I was definitely feeling a bit naughty.
Dancing.
I was feeling like party rocking because the EMAs were coming to Belfast, the European Music Awards, MTV sponsored, mm-hmm. in 2011, the same year as this. My friends and I were trying to get tickets to go. Gaga's performing, Katy Perry was hosting, like everything was on the line. Mm-hmm. And only one obstacle stood in my way, a performance in front of a panel of judges at 8 a.m. to LMFAO's
Sorry for Party Rocking.
Sorry for Party Rocking! Exclamation mark. Now, the concept of this was you got lined up in like a group of six people and then you had to perform to this song as if you were dancing in the crowd at the EMAs. And then the judges would be like, you're through, you get tickets. They're the ones back home.
Oh my
God. So I was wearing a purple t-shirt from DV8 that said, what the fuck would Scooby do?
Wow.
I was fuck. Rebellious. I was feeling naughty and a bit super rude. There was a lot of steam in the air.
Wow.
And
were you feeling like Simon Cowell was watching
the girl
me?
Said, you pointed at me.
Uh-huh.
Get out. I didn't get tickets. I was raging. I was stood up and everything. I was really, really not good. Like,
wait, so how many of the six got through that you were with?
Only one, and it was the twink.
Well,
said nothing. I was Thomas the Tank Engine.
They were in the Rush music video.
Stop. So I think I would win the competition, but what would I win if I'd won?
Well, the winner of the competition would get the chance to meet the band and win some fantastic prizes. Each of the girls chose their favourite fan story and at the same time would reveal their own most notorious moment to you via video message. Now imagine if you won and you had Vanessa telling you about how she like wore a funky bracelet once.
Why was I thinking she was going to get like a weird combo of McFlurry?
Stop. She's going to curry and a McFlurry.
She doesn't just eat.
The car was feeling very rude on the way there. The winners would also win a signed Notorious CD single, which you're like, I already own that.
Got that, girl.
What more could you ask for? Although I am not sure what the fantastic prizes were on top of that. I was on the archive of their website and there were a lot of competitions, including one to win a signed copy of Nintendogs plus Cats on 3DS. So I know which one I would rather win.
The awards just keep on coming. Now on to Best Live Performance.
There's going to be a special shout out here, first of all, for their performance of Notorious on Lorraine, the chat show, where they were serving charisma, uniqueness, nerve and talent at 9:18 in the morning. Children were sitting having their breakfast and getting signed into registration while the Saturdays were giving choreo that will be nominated for a Grammy. Like, they really, really put their whole Sadducee into this performance. But the actual best their performance is from So You Think You Can Dance, the competition show on the 21st of May 2011. Look it up on YouTube. It is so good because they brought the lift. They got the lift from the Notorious video, they went to level 5, and the door slammed open, and out they came. It's a really good performance.
What is she wearing? It's time for the Ugliest Merch Award.
Now, for Ugliest Merch, we're going to go over to Miss Selfridge for their collaboration with The Saturdays, in collaboration with their single, which, according to this advert, is called I'm Notorious. Now, no one checked this before they put it up, but they are a collection of white vests, I would say.
Yeah.
Which either say, I'm notorious in like Calibri or something.
Yeah.
Or what you doing Saturday girl in big block lettering.
That lettering is the same for my What the Fuck Would Scooby Do t-shirt was in.
Wow, you are not afraid to reference or not reference. Now, not only are these ugly and plain, but Miss Selfridge actually commands you with what to wear with them. So You have to either, now this is a decide your own destiny for the listeners of the podcast. You can team them with denim shorts and biker boots for daytime cool, or glam them up with a platform wedge and skinnies for dancing the night away. Now, what would you do?
Denim shorts. Well, all of them are wearing denim shorts in the picture, so like they're not really giving us multiple options. But biker boots?
I think platform wedge and skinnies, like bring it.
I'll see you tonight then. I'm in the daytime.
What you doing Thursday, girl?
Listen to Snapped.
Now for a new award for the Snappies. Alternative album title.
Oh, duh. All Fired Up. Does anybody actually know what this album is called? Like, every time I search for this album, I search for All Fired Up. It just makes so much more sense.
It's so confusing along with the tour. Like, it just seems messy boots.
Yeah, call the tour All Fired Up Tour. Call the single All Fired Up, but then the album's called On Your Radar.
What's not clicking? What's not clicking?
There's High Fashion on the Runway. What have we got for our final award? Best look?
Okay, for best look, it's got to be, well, any promo image with Rochelle in the middle is correct. I was saying this to Paul when we were watching the music video, like, why do they always put Rochelle in the end when she's the tallest? Like, put her in the middle.
Mm.
But this is them in a sort of like hooded bolt of fabric.
Yeah, but it's giving me Kylie can't get out of my head.
Yes, very that. And they're in like a signature color, but they've got like a bra of an opposite color, except Frankie's, which annoys me in this. But
yeah,
with like a big chunky belt. I love Una's belt. It's like rings.
Oh, I love that.
They're just serving. They're actually, you know who's serving the most? And I have to get up to her. Vanessa.
Yeah, Vanessa's smizing the house down boots.
Yeah, I think Molly's giving the least here.
Yeah, they could have done hers a bit better. I think Frankie's also serving, to be honest.
Yeah, no, Frankie's giving, like, I can't see out of my fringe.
Yeah, but this was the promo image for the tour. But I don't know if they've really photoshopped Una, because obviously she's not pregnant in this picture. But
she's, like woman on TikTok who's so skinny that she walks past people.
Oh, yeah. So I don't really know, but yeah, she's serving.
I just think it's so bold. I love when they're in different colors. It's just, like, hot. Whereas, you know, obviously they're naked on the cover for Living for the Weekend, they're all in black. Like, this just seems like pop of color, Kristen Teichman.
Oh, yeah, it really gives me the Chasing Lights album cover, their first, which is black and white, except for their outfits, which are all different colors of the dress. Mm. It gives me that. I feel like that was their thing for a while. So I kind of wish they'd stuck with it more. It looks so good here.
Well, that concludes another iconic Snappies. Join us next week for more awards. Now back to the studio.
Now we're going to talk about the tour while we're talking about wrap up. Now I'm obviously in knowledge that you were at the tour.
Yes, so I was at the tour. I can admit that. Yes, so picture me, June 2011, the band are releasing their tour dates and I see 11 shows pop up, not one in Belfast nor in Dublin.
Are you joking?
I'm seething. Like, Una is from this island. Where are we getting the support? But then it was later announced the tour was going to travel to Belfast and Dublin as well, taking the total number of dates up to 13.
I would literally, even today, I fall to the floor if I see the word Belfast on anyone's.
Yeah, this was an era though of people coming to Belfast, so yeah. I was like, why are you not going to come here? But the Saturday said it's an arena tour, so we're forced to go all out for a big production. Molly said that fans should expect a lot of bright colours and brightly coloured blocks for the production.
Blocks?
I don't remember any blocks.
She was playing the 3DS too much.
Oh my god, yeah, she was getting those things, like floaties in your eye. Una Healy said about the tour, well, the tour is not until December. But we've been busy auditioning dancers and we're planning to discuss choreography in the next few weeks. Really busy with the album at the moment and that's due out in November. So it's a busy time and we're just trying to fit it all in.
She was fitting something in.
Yeah, a full bobby. 8 months pregnant she looked. Well, I not only attended this tour but placed a chunky £100 charge on my mum's credit card. Thank you, mum. So that I could go to the meet and greet of the All Fired Up tour on the 18th of December 2011.
Was that your Christmas present or not even?
I think it was a present I wouldn't have, but I don't know. It could have been. It was like prior to Christmas, so I'm unsure. But the tickets for the normal seats were £20 to £40. So the Eras tour is shaking.
£20?
£20. That's £100 to meet all five girls.
Wow.
£20 each.
That's insane.
So I'm going to take you there. So we got to the venue. We were basically like queued up outside the locker room that the sports people play out here. I don't know. It was smelly. It smelled like rude. Definitely in that hallway. And the five girls walk past. They're all wearing like satin dressing gowns.
Oh, wow.
Black with gold trimming and a gold belt tied.
Wow.
Una was 9 months pregnant. Like she was nearly like in labor. And they strut past and everyone's like, oh my God, it's Una. And I'm like, where's Frankie? Like, let me see her. Because she didn't come the last time I was here.
Everyone was waiting for Una.
Una was popular because we were in Ireland, I guess. So essentially what happened was you queued up and you like, we're watching everybody go to meet them. So they're in the middle of this locker room. There's a table that's quite long. The five girls are sitting. Una's on one end. Rochelle's on the other end. Molly's in the middle. No, Frankie's in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Flanked by Molly and Vanessa. So you go over. You can like sort of hunch over beside them. I was like, girl, I'm doing that. So I just got my knees right beside Frankie. And I scooched up. And I was like, I bought your version of the album. Like the slipcase. Like I sort of tried. I was like, can you sign my slipcase? So she signed the deluxe version. I was like, sorry, girls, to the rest of the girls. It's kind of awkward to have like a 5-person meet and greet when you're in a row, because like if Una's in the end, like I can't be like, hey, Una, like, how are you going, girl? Like, it's not really like that. So I would just send to Frankie, I love you so much, whenever. And they were like, you can't take any other pictures but the official photo. But I just slipped my phone in my pocket and I was like, can we get a selfie to Frankie?
Wow.
And Frankie and I got a wee cheeky selfie. I was like, I love you so much. She's like, what's your favorite song on the album? I was like, Move On You.
And she was like, what's that?
She was like, I don't know what that one is. Una was like, I sing on that one. Everybody bought Una like pregnancy gifts for the baby. Like Mamas and Papas was rated for this event. And it was just so iconic. I will post a photo on the social right after this because it was such an iconic photo moment in time. I was kind of giving Twink a little.
Oh, wow.
Like Christmas Twink kind of vibes. So if you go over to SnapPod on Instagram, I will post the photograph on our socials. It is certainly something. And the tour did get positive reviews from me and from other people. The Daily Echo said the vocals are strong, the harmonies tight, and the choreography slick and raunchy.
Every word that ends in Y that is some sort of steamy, sexy, raunchy, flirty.
Yeah, because they're girls, they're sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The costumes are vibrant and colourful. Lighting is dramatically effective. Molly got her wish. And the overhead projections, imaginative. Don't remember those specifically. Superb use is made of the stage equipment, with the girls magically appearing from trapdoors and the dancers tumbling into pits. That sounds like a
circus.
Yeah, from the front row, the show was definitely giving. It was giving life, not to flex, because that's not a flex, to be fair. But they did too many Christmassy songs. It goes on me to Christmas. I don't want to hear Winter Wonderland. I don't want to see Dress as Mrs. Claus, especially pregnant Mrs. Claus. The snow was coming down. Every time Frankie came over to my side of the stage, I was like, Frankie, from this Saturday. Every time Una came over, I was like, I'm not actually an Una hater. It just seems like it from this episode.
What about the part where they wheel around in a chair?
Yes, they're all doing like sexy choreography in an office environment for Notorious. And then Una's getting like wheeled around on an office chair because she obviously can't strut around sexily.
I'm not pregnant, I'm fat.
Well, try as they may, the girls just could not break America in this era. On the 29th of October 2012, it was announced that the Saturdays had been in talks with the American television network E! About having their own reality TV program. And they signed a joint record deal with Island Def Jam Records and Mercury Records. So in the promo for this, they released an EP called Chasing the Saturdays. And this would be an introduction to their like takeover of America. The Difficult to Get, Not Everybody Has That EP is owned by my co-host and includes the first two singles from On Your Radar alongside What About Us, Higher and Ego.
Bop. Bop, 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 bop.
Now, further solidifying my slept on pick, Get Ready, Get Set was included as the international alternative track on this EP. However, sadly, America said no thank you to the Saturday's hype and they packed their bags and went home.
The show was really interesting, actually. It's mostly just Vanessa crying that she has like vocal issues and then can't perform. And the rest of the girls are like, we need you to be on stage to sing the song. And I thought it was really interesting. But girl groups just don't pierce America. Little Mix couldn't do it. Girls Aloud certainly couldn't do it. They didn't even try, really. Mm. And the Saturdays could not do it, unfortunately.
They're not interested for some reason.
I just feel like American performers are much more polished. And I think the Saturdays' charm is that they're always very quirky. Their interviews are always very personable. I feel like there were 5 girls that were relatable in different ways, which I think the show shows and really teases out a lot more, which I think is really interesting. But they just don't have that it factor. They have likability, where I think America wants polish and precision, and they're not really giving that.
Were they playing the 3DS a lot in the TV show?
I don't think it featured. Maybe that was like not allowed because the brand deal wasn't part of it. I don't know. I don't know how Una was going to get her street passes if she was in America.
She would have got loads.
I know. She should have been in Times Square getting all those doggies.
Well, with that, it's time that we wheel out the indisputable impact iconometer. So, as you know, this is our system of telling the gravity and scale of the impact an album and era has on pop culture. Right, so I'm going to start typing now, like the girls, in the Notorious music video at work, and the machine will reply with a percentage of overall impact.
Frankie, Molly, beep boop, you are Vanessa, bleep, Rachel, what you doing, boop, bust, Saturday girl. Calculating, 15%.
Well, in the positives, it did define Paul as a gay and as an individual, so that's got to count for something, I'm sure.
1% of that, probably.
They were able to perform in arena shows, meaning that they definitely did get their name out there, even if the ticket did cost less than a salt and chili chicken box from the Chinese. And, you know, people would recognize All Fired Up and Notorious.
Yeah, some people would. LGBTs. But under the negatives, the album itself didn't chart as well for them. They dropped below the top 10 for the first time, not even breaking the top 20 at number 23, and then slowly declined even further. They also couldn't break through to the US despite trying their best. They had a full reality TV show. They put a lot of time and effort into that, and then it just didn't end well for them.
You don't have the income coming in anymore.
Oh my goodness.
And ultimately, in their career, they never really did hit the heights of Girls Aloud, Little Mix, or JLS, which is just unfortunate. I still think this album slaps. I think this album has incredible bops on it. I would recommend you go and listen to it. For me, it snapped. I just think it didn't really snap into the public perception very well.
Yeah, someone say it wasn't really on their radar.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Snap Season 2. As always, follow us along on our socials at SnapPod over on Instagram, where we post behind the scenes content and visuals of everything we talk about on this episode. And don't forget to subscribe to Snapped on your favorite podcast streaming service to get notified when episodes release over the coming weeks. You can even give us a glowing 5-star review if you're feeling particularly generous and lovely.
I've been your dancey host, Pete.
And I've been your steamy host, Paul.
And keep those ears peeled for a quick sneak peek of next week's album at the end of the episode. See you then. Bye.